All right, well, as I mentioned, tomorrow night is our Bible Bowl, and the kids have been studying 2 Corinthians. And tonight we're going to finish looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 11, 12, and 13, all in one evening. And I'm going to try to read through this passage and kind of highlight some things that I think might be on the kids' test. But we'll also be talking about the message that the Apostle Paul has for the church at Corinth in these last four chapters. So I hope you'll open your Bibles with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we will start there. Now let me give you a little bit of background. The Apostle Paul is, in these last few chapters, he is persuading the Christians at Corinth to remember that he is an apostle, and he does have the Lord's authority, and that there's been some who have come in among them and have tried to subvert the Apostle Paul's teaching there at Corinth. And so he is battling with these individuals in a spiritual way and seeking to show that the message that he has presented to the church at Corinth is the truth, and that what these false apostles, as he labels them in chapter 11 and verse 13, have presented to the church at Corinth is not the truth, but only the seeking after the appearances of men. And so as we get into the various chapters here, we're going to see that theme developed by the Apostle Paul as he does wage this spiritual warfare between the teaching of salvation by grace through faith versus the teaching of salvation by works of merit that these other teachers are trying to introduce into the church at Corinth. So let's look at chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Now I, Paul myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The Apostle Paul begins this chapter with noting the spiritual nature of his work. And that's what he's going to talk about in the rest of this chapter. These false apostles that had come in among the church at Corinth had in essence set up an external appearance standard of judging things. And because they had done that, they had ignored the true spirituality that the Apostle Paul had imparted to the church at Corinth. And so that's why he says here in the beginning, but I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Those who walk according to the flesh care about the external appearances of things and are not concerned about the internal matter of people. This is the difference. One of the great differences between a system of salvation by works and a system of salvation by faith. A system of salvation by works, that is, meritorious works, is going to look at the external appearances of things to the exclusion of that which is going on internally. Because all that counts in a system of salvation by meritorious works is the outside appearance of what you are doing. You get credit in that sort of system simply by doing the works external to you. You don't get credit in that system by having the right attitude. You only get credit if you do the things that you're supposed to do externally. But in a system of salvation by grace through faith, it's the internal that is more important than the external, because the internal is going to be the locus by which it determines what you're going to do externally. When the things that are done externally are just done for the reason of the external, then the inner man suffers. The inner man becomes resentful. The inner man becomes hateful. The inner man starts to have envious thoughts. The inner man starts to have jealous thoughts. The inner man starts to be prideful in the things that he's accomplishing. And there is no addressing those things in this meritorious system. But in a system of salvation by faith, by grace through faith, where the inner man is important, then it's the inner man that must change. And then you see, as a result of the inner man changing, the external works are affected as well. And Paul is advocating change on the inside, not merely change on the outside. And that's why he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But what do? They change the inner man. They pull down the strongholds of arguments and knowledge and thoughts. They bring thoughts into captivity. That's what the weapons of our warfare do. They work on the inner man. Verse 7. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? You see, he's addressing that now. If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ's, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ's. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. And so the false apostles were simply judging the apostle Paul by his external appearances, not by the spiritual man that he was. Verse 11. Let such a person consider this, let those false apostles consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will also be, we will also be indeed when we are present. In other words, what the apostle Paul is saying is this. His critics were charging him of being strong in his letters, but weak in his personal presence. And Paul is saying this, that if you really want to test that, let's go ahead and do it. And we'll see what happens when he says, I come with the rod. Now, he doesn't want to do that, but that's the possibility if they don't repent and turn back to Christ. Now, verse 12 says this, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Here's another fault of these Judaizing teachers, of these false apostles. Their whole standard is based upon external appearances. And so they compare themselves with each other instead of who they should really compare themselves with, Jesus Christ. Well, it's easy, you see, for me to compare myself to somebody else. All I got to do is pick somebody who I judge to be inferior to me, set myself up against them, and I can say, hey, look how great I am. Anybody can do that. And it means absolutely nothing. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul's point is. Verse 13, he says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. And there's the point. Paul is preaching the gospel of Christ. These other false apostles are not. They're preaching themselves. They're preaching their pride. They're preaching their envy. They're boasting and all of the things that they take pleasure in. But Paul says, I'm not doing that. I am preaching Christ. Verse 15, notice, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall greatly enlarge by you in our sphere. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, and here's the point, verse 17, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. And there's the standard for spirituality. The standard for spirituality is not how good you look on the outside in doing all of these wonderful works. The standard of spirituality is the Lord and who he decides is spiritual. And so in chapter 10, the Apostle Paul discusses the spiritual nature of his work. In chapter 11, we see that he starts scrutinizing the troublers. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, he says in verse 1 of chapter 11. And indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And so the Apostle Paul's concern is this, that when these false apostles come in, they will take these brethren away from Christ, being betrothed to Christ, and they won't really know the simplicity that is in Christ. Verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, and that's what he's charging them with, preaching another Jesus, just as he charged those among the churches of Galatia in Galatians chapter 1 with preaching another gospel. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. And what he's saying there is this. You brethren at Corinth need to grow up a little bit. You can't even recognize the difference between gospel preaching that centers on Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the preaching of men which centers on external traditions of men. Yes, they may well put up with it. But Paul says, I'm working to avoid that. I'm working to educate you out of that. Verse 5. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you, God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. Now, what is he saying here in this passage? He's saying that there was an accusation leveled against him that because he didn't take payment for his services when he came to Corinth and was preaching the gospel, that therefore he is inferior. Well, Paul said, I didn't take payment from you personally that I might not charge you for the message of the gospel, but I certainly was supported by the churches of Achaia and by many other churches. And that doesn't mean that I'm inferior by any standard. But those who made this accusation against me, he says in verse 13, are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. And so these, in appearance, look like they're serving God. But in actuality, they are serving Satan. And why is that? Because they are preaching another gospel. They are preaching another Jesus. They are preaching another spirit. And what other gospel, other Jesus, and other spirit are they preaching? They are preaching a message of salvation by works of merit. Simply by doing the works will earn you salvation in heaven. And that is not the gospel that Paul preached. And that is not the gospel that Jesus preached. And that is not the gospel that the apostles preached. But it is the gospel that these false apostles were preaching. Verse 16. I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you would put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we were never too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Paul is using a little tongue-in-cheek here to try to get the Corinthians to wake up. In essence, what he is saying is this: why, if these people with all these credentials come to you and they present themselves to you, you're going to accept them above anything else because they have these external credentials. You'll put up with them gladly. You'll let them put you into bondage. You'll let them devour you. You'll let them steal from you. You'll let them strike you on the face even. And you'll thank them for doing it. Why? Because the Corinthians were eaten up with pride, okay? And in their pride, they saw somebody with these credentials as being one who really was something. And in so doing that, they allowed themselves to be taken away in what Paul accurately describes as foolishness. Now, the Apostle Paul is going to go ahead and play their game so that he can show the church at Corinth that he's not a whit behind any of these others who have these credentials. Now, notice what he says in verse 22 and following. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as the fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Why is Paul going through all of these things that he's been through? He is, in essence, bringing forth his resume, so to speak, to show that he is someone who is not a whit behind these false apostles who were claiming that the church at Corinth should follow them because of all the wonderful things, you see, that they have done for Christ. Well, Paul says, if you want to start stacking those things up, let's just do it and see who's got the longer resume. Of course, the Apostle Paul wins hands down in that regard. But his point is not to say, look at how great I am, because he says here, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmities. He's not interested in lauding himself. That's not the point. He's interested in getting the church at Corinth to refocus upon the right things. And if he has to go through his resume to do that, then he will do that. But ultimately his point is this: don't look at the standards that men set up for themselves to reach and judge men based upon their own standards that they have adopted. Look at the things that have been done by Jesus Christ in humbling himself, which things Paul had imitated within his life, and judge based upon Jesus. And so as he gets into chapter 12, he does just that. As he preaches to us strength in weakness. So we see the spiritual nature of his work in chapter 10. We see the scrutinizing that he gives these false apostles in chapter 11. And now he begins to show us how there is truly strength in weakness. Now the world doesn't want to hear that message. The world wants to hear the message of power and might and overcoming through strength and being a greater person than other people. But that's not the message of Christ. The message of Christ is strength in weakness. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says starting in chapter 12, verse 1. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast. Yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. What is the Apostle Paul talking about here? Some believe that he's talking about himself and an experience that he had in being caught up to the third heaven. And he says, if that's where I ultimately end up, then I will glory in that person, not for the accomplishments that he made on the earth, but for the fact that he's been saved in Christ Jesus. But while I am here on the earth, I will not boast in myself, but rather in my infirmities, in my weaknesses. Why? Lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. The Apostle Paul doesn't want them to judge him in any other way than the way that he should be done, that is by, or that he should be judged, and that is by the things that he has suffered for Christ. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my strength is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What is Paul talking about in this passage? He's saying this, that if I have to boast in something, I'm going to boast in those weaknesses that I have, those infirmities that I have, the trouble that I have, the problems that I have, the difficulties that I have, and even in this thorn in the flesh that evidently the Lord allowed Satan to plague the Apostle Paul with, so that he would not be lifted up with pride. You see, all of those things the Apostle Paul is talking about, infirmities, weakness, sufferings, problems, they remind us that we are not something, but rather that we are to be humbling ourselves before God. You see, those things militate against our pride. They throw down our pride. They remind us that we are just human. They remind us that we shouldn't measure ourselves by our own standards. They remind us that when we go through those difficulties, that we are weak and frail and human and sinful. And we need to be reminded of that on a daily basis, lest we do be lifted up with pride. And so in that regard, the Apostle Paul says this, when I am weak, then I am strong. Because he recognizes that to be in the presence of God requires real humility within his life. Verse 11, I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you. For in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance, and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. In other words, the church at Corinth had judged Paul as being inferior to these other people, and one of the reasons why they had done that was because those who had come to them had made them feel like they were inferior because they didn't pay Paul for the services that he rendered, at least one of the things. But Paul is saying, look, I've done all the signs of an apostle. I'm equal with those other guys. You were not inferior to any of these other congregations simply because I was the one to come and set up and establish the church there in Corinth. In fact, the only thing that you're inferior in was that you didn't pay me when I was there preaching the gospel to you. And he said, that's nothing to be ashamed about. Verse 14, he says, now for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very, very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God and Christ. But we do all things, beloved, for your edification. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I should be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults, lest when I come again my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. In other words, now that the root of the false apostles was taking seed among them, they would be going back to their old practices. Their practices, which Paul condemned in the first letter to Corinth, as being things that they ought not to be numbered among them. And so he says, how did we behave toward you? We loved you. We walked in an honorable way toward you. And so did Titus. And so did all of those who worked with the church at Corinth with Paul. But because you have gone away from our message, the opportunity for Satan now to come in and to sow the seed of sin is ripe once again. And so he says, I hope for your sakes that you will repent before I come, lest we have to deal with some of the same problems we dealt with previously. In chapter 13, the Apostle Paul salutes the brethren. He says, this will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I've told you before, and foretell as if I were present the second time, and now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak towards you, but mighty in you, for though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. In this last chapter, the Apostle Paul says, I'm coming. And whether I come in a spirit of gentleness or whether I come with a rod will be up to you. Are you going to repent? And are you going to turn to God and live according to His will instead of following after the appearances of the flesh and descending back into carnality? Or are you going to do what is right? He says, examine yourselves. And that's the invitation that he offers the church at Corinth. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? Yes, they needed to look again to Jesus Christ. That's where they needed to turn in order to understand what their relationship was with Him. And so Paul urges them to do just that. As we urge you tonight to do that as well. Each day we must examine ourselves, comparing ourselves with Jesus Christ to see whether or not we have been disqualified. If we are not living according to God's will, then we need to make changes within our life and start doing it today. If we need to begin walking with Jesus, then we need to hear His word and believe it, repent of our sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins so that we can be with Him eternally. What will we do with Paul's challenge to the church at Corinth? Let's resolve to put away the childish, foolish, carnal, fleshly notion that external appearances are everything. And let's remember that in order to follow Jesus, we've got to have the right heart and the right spirit, and that those things will inform the right action within our life. Does your heart and spirit need to change tonight? If so, then we invite you to make that change while together we stand and while we sing.